grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Our faith holds first and foremost allegiance to the one true God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This faith dwells over all our spiritual, psychological, bodily, political needs that we can ever think of. We hold firm the truth of God's own true word as proclaimed in His Holy Scriptures. We believe them inerrant, that is, without mistake or contradiction in any form. And we believe the greatest commandment of God is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. It is this love our Lord Jesus Christ taught as He walked the earth during His ministry, caring for the lost, healing the broken, and lifting up the downtrodden where others would simply have cast them aside and minded their own passions and desires. It is with this love, love for His Father in heaven, that, and a love for all mankind, that our Lord Jesus Christ went willingly to Jerusalem and endured torture and execution upon the cross. He rose again on the third day so that you and I and all mankind would now have the hope and joy of salvation we'd otherwise not be able to obtain because of the sinfulness of the world, the devil, and our own sinful flesh. Fighting against the blessings of God, the Creator, God the Redeemer, and God the Sanctifier of our faith. And I must tell you that it is here in this land called the United States of America that we have come to live as a country formed on the God-given principles of freedom for all men, a country driven by the Founding Fathers' doctrine, the Constitution of the United States of America. And in that document, listed as the very First Amendment, is the prohibition to the making of any law impeding the free exercise of religion, abridging the freedom of speech, or the interfering with a right to peaceably assemble. This amendment was adopted on December 15th, 1791, as one of the 10 amendments that constitutes our Bill of Rights as citizens of this country. And it's today, the 15th anniversary of 9/11. We continue as yet to celebrate that freedom together as children of God here in this place, and to worship Him who has blessed us here in this land, and that we celebrate this freedom as yet it shrinks from existence by forms of enemies, both foreign and domestic. This is not only a crime against the document our Founding Fathers forged for the entirety of existence of this country of ours, it's not only a crime against common morals and the good order for caring for each other, but itself a damnable offense against God for disobeying His very commandment of loving Him and caring for your neighbor. Right after Jesus had risen from the dead and appeared to many of His disciples, those who followed Jesus quickly began to live in fear. This is why the Bible reports that His disciples had locked themselves into their rooms for fear of the Jews. They saw what had happened to the Son of God Himself at the hands of selfish and ruthless men, and they feared for their own lives. Soon after our Lord had ascended into heavens above, the authorities, the Pharisees, the scribes, and the high priests. They brought the disciples before them into a court. Them, and they sat before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name of Jesus. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When the leaders of the Jews heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Thaddeus rose up claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. It's from Acts. It took place right after our Lord ascended into heaven. So you see, what is happening today in our land is in fact no different than what has happened many times throughout all of history. Why, there was even a period of hundreds of years when it was deemed illegal to claim oneself to be a Christian. And if you did, the punishment was death for having such a faith. But there is hope. Recently, my wife and I went to New York City. Yes. We went on purpose. And one of the main reasons we desired to go was to visit the 9/11 Memorial and Museum. We really wanted to see it. And as we walked through this site of a very deadly attack against the United States of America, a myriad of thoughts ran through my mind, many emotions. You're invited to touch portions of the memorial there. They want you to feel and become a part of remembering what happened to those who perished there in such an awful act. And as a called and ordained servant of the word, I find myself thinking of the religious implications this attack held for our country. You see, it wasn't just an attack aimed at just the freedoms we have here in America. It was an attack against the very fabric of our faith in God Himself, who instilled this among His people. It was an attack against you and I believing in the one true God. It was an attack against us because we don't believe in some made-up plagiarizing, child-molesting monster, the likes of whom the devil enjoys and rejoices in hell. No, we do not worship the same God that the Muslims do. What sort of God would claim to want the slaughtering of anyone not adhering to the cockamamie, twisted, ridiculously whacked out laws made up by some sick individual? The true God of our faith speaks of loving the neighbor, even the neighbor that doesn't believe the same way that we do. Jesus taught us to show love and compassion to even those who may hate us. So now, in this day and age that we live in, we find ourselves beginning to suffer from enemies within our own country. In the pursuit of political correctness, the Christian faith is being found as hate speech by many. Yes, to proclaim the law of God strikes at many hearts and souls wearied from daily struggles in the battle between Satan and all of his minions. Some shout, the Bible needs to be changed. It needs to be updated more to the times that we live in. To stand and pronounce guilt on anyone, to accurately bring someone's sin and lack of repentance into the limelight, begs for the brute force of the sword to be held as an enemy of the state, and for even making meager attempts at announcing the sweet gospel of God's grace, we are being beaten back by privacy rights, by social justices, and we're told to move indoors, keep to ourselves, to remove from the public realm all traces of spirituality, like those monuments that have stood for hundreds of years proclaiming the truth of God's intervention and governance in our lives, of all of his people whom he has created. And even now attempts to control what goes on and said inside this sanctuary. This sanctuary of God's holy house, and these are being brewed this very day by people in our own government and in our courts and in our streets. We're gathered together today also to celebrate Rally Day, a day of the year where we rally around the Word of God and one another. We celebrate all God's many blessings to us, his dear children. But what is Rally Day, really? I had to look it up. Webster's Dictionary defines rally as, one, a verb to draw or call together for a common purpose. And it's a noun meaning a renewal of energy in joint action. You know, during the summer months, with all our many activities and vacations and events that continuously draw our congregation members away from each other and the church, especially on weekends, summer can be very spiritually damaging. Attendance here at church certainly dwindles a bit, but you start the summer off with good intentions of sticking to your Bible reading, good intentions on staying in worship regularly, good intentions of attending Bible classes as they come up, but the reality is summer's hectic schedules can easily derail us from those good intentions. Come the end of summer, we need a renewal of our energy when it comes to our spiritual matters, and it's kind of hard to renew your energy on your own. But it's much easier to do it in a group. That's why we set aside one special day at the end of the summer to rally and to draw together for a common purpose, seeking the Holy Spirit's power to renew. God's word for praying, for serving, and for witnessing. So on this Sunday, September 11th, we'll be drawing together, renewing our energy for the common purpose of growing in trust and obedience to Christ Jesus. It is this drawing together our scripture readings today. They speak about all of this that we've been talking about. Yes, many have wandered from the faith, from the church, and from the belief. Yes, it's increasingly more difficult to call folks to worship on a regular basis because of the many intrusions in this walk of our lives outside these hollow walls of grace. Our Lord professes the joy experienced over the return of that who was once a lost sheep. He who died for you and I still today says, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And it's just like St. Paul said in the epistle, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, sinners like me and you. So as we continue to celebrate our freedom to worship, as God has ordained, we remember his peace, which surpasses all human understanding. A peace which will no doubt survive all attacks. A peace which will permeate all your being, your body, your mind, and your soul forever and ever. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.